Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to animal cruelty, human suffering, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
And my bird flew over there, and my swine flew over there.
I'm Andy.
Man, that is one sick puppy. I'm Kelly.
Catching acid pop fever is as easy as ABC. I'm Adam.
So, hypothetical question. If I invented a virus that could destroy the world, should I tell everyone how to make it? I'm Sean, and welcome to Acid Pop. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Here in America, we're just pulling out of the cold weather, so we are at the height of flu season. And since this year has been a particularly bad year for the flu, I thought we could talk about that.
Everyone stay away from me.
Oh, no.
We could all be infectious.
See, I at this point, I believe that my immune system is firmly developed, having worked in an elementary school.
Yeah. That just makes you a carrier.
Yeah.
So the word flu is short from influenza, and influenza is an Italian word, which is derived from the Latin word for influential.
Really?
Yeah. I was just about to make an influential joke.
Yeah, too late. In 1743, there was a disease that swept through Italy, and it was so bad that they gave it a nickname, and that nickname was the influence.
That's really sinister.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds devilish.
Yeah, that's how we got the word influenza. So, you know, no way to know if that was in fact a flu, but the name just sort of stuck around.
Yeah, makes for a good story.
Yeah, yeah. For a long time, it was just sort of like a word that was associated with disease, but now we specifically assign it to one particular virus.
God, my arm fell off. No, you got the flu, huh?
No driving under the influence.
Achoo.
So nosophobia is the fear of contracting a disease, and this comes from the Greek nosos, which means disease.
Huh.
Oh, I thought it meant because I had the sniffles in my nose.
Yeah, that makes sense. But there isn't a specific phobia of the flu, so that one's just generally for contracting illnesses. So influenza is a single-stranded RNA virus.
We all know this.
So typically when a cell replicates with DNA, you've got two strands of DNA that split apart, and then the RNA's job is to sort of make short, chunky copies of the DNA going down the line. And then that's
chunky.
That's used to make a copy DNA, and then the two new DNAs bond with the two old DNAs, and they zip back together, and the RNA is sort of just a step in there to sort of proofread it before it all comes back together.
Editing is important.
I prefer smooth DNA to chunky DNA.
But with single-stranded RNA, one RNA copies straight to another RNA. The end. If a mistake happens along the way, that mistake just sticks around, and that's the new one. This makes the flu have a crazy high mutation rate.
Which is why you need different vaccines every year.
Yeah, and this is why the flu is still around and still so bad, is because it mutates so fast that we can't keep up with it. And the flu gets into your cell, and it basically hijacks your RNA copying enzymes and then starts replicating its own RNA and pumping out more virus cells.
Well, I mean, that's basically like the MO of most viruses.
Right, yeah.
And that's why viruses freak me right the fuck out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Like, they're the closest we have to alien invaders.
Yeah.
Well, and then there's, on top of that, like, viruses will, like, they sort of place themselves into your DNA.
Yep.
And a lot of our DNA is, like, parts of viruses, too.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really do anything for us, but it's remnants of viruses that, like, you have had or, like, your ancestors have had.
Remnants of viruses gone.
Yeah. We've got a little bit of background. We're going to move on to our acid pop quiz. So, true or false, if you are infected with the flu but have not shown symptoms yet, you are contagious.
I don't know much about the flu. I've only had it like once, so I'm going to just say true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can be contagious without showing signs.
I mean, it sweeps through old folks' homes like a wildfire.
Well, I think you could be, but at the same time, it'd be hard for you to be shedding the virus if you don't have symptoms. Yeah. That's the point of the symptoms.
I think it's much less likely when you're not like coughing and hacking on everything.
I'm going to say slightly contagious.
I sweat on everything, so.
Well, it is true. People with the flu are typically contagious one day before symptoms start to 7 days after.
Oh. Ouch.
So you have about an 8-day window when you have the flu where you are contagious. True or false, the flu can survive outside a host for up to 24 hours.
I think that's true. I know some viruses can. I don't remember if it's flu specifically.
I'm going to say, I think flu is spread through fluids, and I don't think fluids, like dry fluids, aren't a great environment for viruses, so I'm going to say false.
I hate dry fluids.
You know what I meant.
I'm also going to say false, but I'm going to say it lives longer.
Nope. Yep. Kelly got it. It can survive for up to 48 hours on
I didn't know that was an option.
I said up to.
Damn it.
So it can survive up to 48 hours on non-porous surfaces. So things like countertops and metal.
So don't go around licking doorknobs, people.
So like dry saliva still has active flu.
Yep, it can.
That's why you shouldn't be spitting on everything all the time.
I'm constantly spitting on everything.
It can survive less long on porous substances, so things like cloth or fabric, it's not going to survive as long. It's just a few hours. But it can also be chilled almost indefinitely. So if you freeze the food, you can keep it forever.
Cough into a napkin, stick it in your freezer.
Yeah.
I'm going to say our ice caps melting, we're going to get some sort of prehistoric flu in the water.
God. It's possible.
Quick, write that down.
Idea for trauma movie. Ice flu.
33% of people infected with the flu are asymptomatic.
Meaning they don't have any symptoms.
Right.
Right.
Ever.
33%?
One third.
30 people are very strong. Can't get the flu.
I'm going to say true.
That sounds true. I'd like to think that a third of our population is very resilient.
I think that sounds high. I'm going to say false.
It is, in fact, true. So this is the position that I feel like I'm in. I have a pretty dang good immune system from being a very sick child for a very long time. And there's been more than a few times when, like, someone at my work will be sick, and then Kelly will be sick, and they'll be very similarly sick, but I'll never get sick. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, uh-oh.
The cause is a mystery.
I just had that happen at work where everybody got the flu, and I was just like, I don't know, guys.
Yeah,
I've got the sniffles, probably allergies. But once again, I attribute that to working around just diseased children for about 3 years.
Yeah, for some reason, I've never really thought about that. I've always, like, I feel like I don't get sick all that often. I've always sort of prided myself on having a good immune system, but maybe I've just been carrying this whole
time.
But
my wife will tell you, when I get sick, I get nasty sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom gets knocked out pretty hard, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever I get sick, I just about die every time.
See, I'm the opposite. I catch everything, but I never get super sick.
Yeah.
I just sort of skate on the top of the symptoms.
The last time I got sick, it was a 103-degree fever, and I left the C-Lab DVD running, and it played the DVD back, like the theme song backwards, so I thought I was going insane.
Why did it play it backwards?
Because that's the menu for the original C-Lab DVD. Like, I would wake up from this fever dream, like,
I'm going back in time.
Like, I was
going
to drive you insane.
So true or false, you're most likely to catch the flu in winter.
This sounds like a trick question.
Like, I feel like it sort of, like, bookends winter, but I think it does like the colder weather, so I'm going to say true.
Does the virus like colder weather, or are our immune systems bad in cold?
I think it has something to do with it surviving better in colder weather.
Adam's a biologist. I'm going with Adam.
I mean, definitely. Is the norovirus a type of flu? Because that's like a winter disease.
I'm not sure.
It is. I don't believe it is.
I mean, We're in flu season right now. It is currently winter. I'm going to say true.
Yep, you all got it. It is true. So, Andy, you were questioning if it's that the flu likes it cold or if your immune systems are weaker. It's actually both.
Some like it hot.
Oh, fun.
Yep. So the flu likes it cool and dry and dark, which all happen during winter. And the cold depresses your immune system. So that's prime time for catching the flu.
I will say I did once have the flu on the 4th of July.
Yeah,
so
it's not exclusive.
You say, hey, kids. Vaccines are like warm coats for your white blood cells.
That's good.
So fill in the blank. There are three different strains of the flu, classified as A, B, and C. I want you to rank those from most to least deadly.
Ah, shit. I remember reading about this, but I don't remember which is which.
I'm going to go BAC because it spells back. Get back, flu.
You said most to least deadly?
Right.
I think B is the most. We'll say A is the least and C in the middle.
Thank you for agreeing with me.
No, no. I didn't remember what you said. I don't listen to you most
said,
of the time.
Adam said B, C, A.
I said B, A, C.
I know, but Adam said B, C, A.
You two said different things. I'm going to think that they're in order. I'm going to think going with...
Oh, you'd like to think that.
Most deadly, it's the obvious A, B, C.
Oh, Kelly Sother, my ruse. Like, yep, it is A, B, C.
Huh.
I know you so well.
So
ABC, easy as death, 2-3.
Save that for the intro.
So the thing about it is A is the one that mutates the most, and then B is second most and C is third most. So people do tend to get B and C during their life, but then they get an immunity to it. And most of the time it doesn't mutate fast enough for them to catch it again in their lifetime. Mostly you don't have to worry about B and C. Name some animals that can catch the flu.
Birds.
Okay.
The canine pigs. Flu is going dogs. Around Reno like crazy, so I'm saying dogs.
Okay.
Yep. We have birds, pigs, and dogs.
Anything else? There's more answers.
Other apes.
gorillas.
Are you just going to tell us when to stop, or should we just keep naming animals?
Dolphins.
Well, I was going to say I'll let you go until you get one wrong, but actually apes is not on my list. So
what? That seems impossible.
It probably is, but it wasn't in any of the research that I did.
We are eight.
Birds, seals, pigs, horses, ferrets, mice, bats, cats, and dogs.
Goddamn bats.
Yeah.
Bats have everything.
Can't escape a diseased bat.
So depending on the specific strain of the flu, some of them are zoonotic, which means they can be passed between species. So you might catch the flu from a bat or a seal.
But I love that seal.
I thought you said they like dry places.
It's true. I don't know how a seal would catch the flu.
They live in that dry liquid.
Elephant seal. They got those big noises. Noises. Noses.
So what percentage of people get the flu every year?
Oh, we're talking about the asymptomatic ones, too.
0.5.
Okay.
I feel like that's low.
I'm going low.
Based on my office?
100%.
100.
20%.
But your office is like a flu container.
As is everyone's office.
Come over to my flubicle.
What did you say, Kelly? What
20.
Percentage? 20. I was going to say 10.
Well, Adam and Kelly are both right in there. It's between 5 and 20%.
Damn it.
So it depends on the year and the flu. But yeah, it's pretty contagious. So that basically means that within a given year, 1 in 20 or up to 1 in 5 people catch the flu every year.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Those are not very good odds.
No.
Well, and this year, like Kelly said, in Reno, it's been just a nasty time.
Yeah. Well, I remember a couple of years ago, the norovirus wreaking havoc around here, too.
Yeah, I used that excuse to take time off work.
Yeah, I used that excuse to lay on a couch for 3 days.
I just wanted to take time off work.
Oh, I had it. I felt like I just about died.
So the flu causes roughly how many deaths annually?
I've seen this number, but I don't remember it.
Were you looking at my answers?
No, I can't see
that. I've seen numbers before.
I'd like to think it's big, but I think some of that is pneumonia related.
Yeah, it is a lot of pneumonia.
I think that counts.
Yeah, it definitely counts.
Okay, so pneumonia complications from flu counts?
I mean, that's usually what you die of when you catch the flu.
30,000.
Okay.
Seems low.
You think so?
Andy's playing.
I don't know.
I'm going to say 10,000. I think it's higher than that, but the number in my head has a 1 and a 0, and 100,000 seems too much, and 10 seems too few.
And Andy thinks his answer is low, so I'm going to, what'd you say?
30.
I'm going to say 30,001.
Adam's the closest without going over.
Yay!
Damn you!
I did it! I was a jerk.
The correct answer is between 250,000 and 500,000 people.
That is not a small number.
From what I remember, mostly elderly and infants.
Yeah.
So why bother vaccinating?
So, time for our terms. What is an adjuvant?
It's an advent calendar that for Jewish people.
Behind every door, there's a different virus.
Or a bagel.
That is a young judge.
I really hope it's a bagel today.
An adolescent judge.
Are we waiting on
yep,
me?
Yep. Could you use it in a sentence?
I'm going with the calendar that has viruses behind it.
Well, an adjuvant is an additive to vaccines that boosts your body's immune response. So it basically just calls more attention to the vaccine.
Paints all the viruses bright red.
Yeah. So aluminum gels and salts are common adjuvants. And
aluminum gels?
Yep. Yep. Hmm. Adjuvants are kind of important because they're one of the things that get touted by anti-vaxxers as the dangerous part.
Yeah.
Like I can't remember exactly what it is, but one of them is like a mercury sulfide or something.
And they it's a mercury.
Yeah.
Basically it's a mercury chemical. Mercury is a chemical component of the thing.
Right.
What they don't understand is that when you combine two chemicals.
Yeah, what they don't understand is chemistry.
Yeah.
You could scare these people off with table salt.
So what is a novel influenza A virus?
A novel influenza A virus is the hip new A virus that all the kids are passing around.
Hey.
I want to be hip too.
There you go.
You said A was the one that mutates the most, right?
Correct.
I'm going to say that's like a not as mutated version, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Like a more common form, or
one that's been written
stable,
down
like a baseline or something.
Yeah.
My guess is the opposite. Yeah. It's one that's really mutated, so people just
damn, that makes more sense.
System to deal with it.
Yeah, Kelly's probably the closest. It is basically just a new form of the virus that hasn't been seen before or was unexpected.
Which happens all the time, which causes my mother to say, "Why did I even get that damn flu shot?" And I go, "Grr."
I suppose it's too late to change my answer.
No, this is one of those reverse quizzes.
Oh, shoot. We were supposed to be doing Jeopardy. What is reassortment?
That's where the DNA gets rearranged.
Okay.
Reassortment is when the flu virus RNA gets rearranged.
Uh-huh. Adam's powering up.
You stay away from my answers.
Reassortment is a form of quarantining. It's when you're sorting the infected people from the non-infected people.
That sounds nicer, too.
And into the fire.
We'll just put this group here, where the bonfire is.
Reassortment was, hands down, the scariest thing that I learned about the flu. A person can catch two different strains of the flu at the same time.
No.
If that happened.
Oh, is this like a hybrid strain?
Yeah. So the two flus can combine together inside of you and make a brand new super flu.
Get out.
Yep. That flu is reassortment.
I don't
want to like catch
that.
The double flu.
You've got two flus. You're puking and vomiting and vomiting and puking.
Well, I don't want to split hairs, but I think my answer was the closest. Basically, reassortment happens with reproductive cells. That's why you have like pieces of your mom and dad's DNA mixed together.
Yeah. Reproduction. Like, yeah. Put those pollen tubes to work.
And that concludes our pop quiz. So the first thing I wanted to talk about was, at least on record, the worst flu epidemic that ever happened. Which
I know this one.
Yeah,
I do too.
Yeah, I think. Probably everybody knows about this, but I'm going to get into some specifics, and I don't know. I thought I knew a lot about this, but even me reading through this, I was surprised by a lot of things that I learned.
I read about it every once in a while. It's really crazy.
Yeah,
like, and it's like still like recent history, too.
Yeah.
It was a little Spanish flu.
In 1918, a flu popped up in Europe in early spring that followed the usual flu-like patterns. People got sick, and about a week or so later, they were feeling fine. It spread at the usual rates, and while it did cause some deaths, mostly among the young or the old, which is pretty typical flu-like behavior, it wasn't anything out of the ordinary. But then, in fall of that year, the flu was back with a vengeance. It spread from Europe around the world, even to Alaska and the Arctic.
Jeez.
Unlike normal, it killed a significant number of people who caught it.
Like an insane amount of people.
Yeah. Young, old, healthy, or not, some people died within hours of developing symptoms, their lungs filled with fluid.
Jeez.
Medical records weren't great back then, but it's estimated that 5 million people were infected, and between 50 and 100 million people died.
Repeat those numbers?
Well, maybe I said, I might have said the wrong number. So it's estimated that 500 million people were infected.
Okay.
And between 50 and 100 million people died.
50 million of the 5 million infected people died.
They died and released a death shockwave.
That's a hell of a ratio.
So that was a mortality rate of 5 to 10%, which, so at that time, the flu killed between 3 and 5% of the population of the planet.
Yeah, it was nuts.
This single epidemic dropped the life expectancy in the U.S. by 12 years. It killed more Americans than World War I, II, and the Korean and Vietnam Wars combined.
I was going to say the upcoming World War III.
Spanish flu is really throwing off the curve for all the other viruses.
Yeah.
Also the Germans.
Overperforming.
It killed more people in 6 months than AIDS did in 24 years. It killed more people...
But AIDS is slowing in cities.
Yeah, it's true. It killed more people in a year than the plague did in 50.
Take that, plague. Go back home.
Take your bubos and walk away.
The University of Michigan suspended any student found not wearing a surgical mask on campus.
That's fair.
And a town in Arizona passed a law against shaking hands.
Or even just smiling particularly
still on
friendly.
The books this day.
That wouldn't surprise me.
So also, strangely enough, the Stanley Cup, which has been going on since 1893, could not be won.
Really?
Because the tournament was canceled due to the flu. Several of the players were infected and two died. And this is the one and only time that the Stanley Cup was not awarded due to a no decision.
Jeez. I didn't know hockey was so old, quite honestly. You've taught me several things
today.
Did they
die on the rink?
Probably. They're so cold and dry out there.
You don't want to cram in a room with a bunch of people anyway.
Back in the 1800s, they played it on a frozen lake, though.
Yeah.
So, as I mentioned earlier, we were talking a little bit about anti-vaxxers and anti-vaccines. One of the biggest tools in the anti-vaxxer toolkit is
Rob Schneider.
Well, is a situation that came up because of the flu. Here's the deal. We talked about how bad the 1918 flu was, and in 1976, a sudden and unexpected death due to a new strain of the flu made some people worry that we might be having another outbreak on that scale. So the U.S. decided it wasn't taking any chances and would vaccinate 80% of the population. This cost a lot of money and honestly enough time that by the time the vaccine was ready, it was pretty apparent that this was not a doomsday plague. But mines had been made up. We ordered 45 million syringes and damn it, we're going to use them.
Two for every citizen.
Line up.
So 45 million people were vaccinated. Then in a possibly related incident, unless maybe it wasn't, 450 people who received the vaccine developed Guillain-Barré syndrome. Now, this is a rare neurological disorder that causes tingling, numbness, weakness, and in extreme cases, paralysis and death.
Not to be confused with Roseanne Barr.
Not to be confused with Julianne Moore syndrome, which causes you to marry Anthony Hopkins, the cannibal.
But most people who get Guillain-Barré syndrome are okay. Like they have some neurological problems for a little while and then they get better. But every once in a while, somebody will die as a result of this. So this was blamed on the vaccine, though no concrete link was ever determined. Though I'll point out that even if it was, you would have a 0.001% chance of contracting GBS. And as we discussed, you have a 5 to 20% chance of catching the flu.
I'll roll those dice.
I think that's still on the flu permission slips you have to sign.
Yeah.
Like, I think it still mentions, like, have you ever had or, like, are you worried about Guillain-Barré syndrome?
Yeah.
Jenny McCarthy told me not to have a vaccine, though.
There's always that.
But even more so, you know, there's a lot of things and medicines from the 1970s I'd prefer to avoid.
Yeah.
But, you know, we continue to change things up.
Yeah. If we find a problem, we usually do our best to fix it, but, you know. So, our next story. Scientists in the Netherlands took the H5N1 bird flu, which killed roughly half of the people who became infected with it, and made it much, much more transmittable.
Oh, good.
What the hell, Norway?
Like the bird flu was one of those flus that was almost a Spanish flu thing, where it was killing elderly at a rate of, like, 1 to 2.
Yeah.
I remember hearing about it, but I don't think I heard any of the numbers at the time.
Well, it didn't actually kill all that many people, but the reason it didn't is because it needed to be transmitted through direct contact.
With birds?
Yep. And the elderly in their nursing homes fuck like rabbits.
And they all have birds.
But now it's airborne.
Thank you.
And it infects ferrets who previously have been shown to have the similar resistance to the virus as humans with reckless abandon.
So the scientists were also black metal artists.
Were they just bored?
Well, the virus was created by Ron Fauchier, a molecular scientist and part-time supervillain, who presented his findings at an influenza conference in Malta in September 2017.
Got booed off the stage.
Well, basically,
it's very infectious now. Here, let me show you.
No, don't you worry. I've made it more infectious.
Well, him and his team went up there and they were like, "Hey, do you think we should publish how we made this?"
Boo!
So that started this huge argument about whether it's a good idea to put it out there, because then somebody can probably come up with a vaccine.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Or to keep it a secret and hope that nobody else figures out how to do it.
So his team didn't have a vaccine then?
Nope.
Yeah,
he just made a virus that could easily wipe out half the planet.
Hey, guys.
Jesus.
We've made a super virus. Do you think we should just put it out there?
Keep it on the DL.
I think that should be part of your super virus creation team.
Yeah.
You should have someone who makes the vaccine.
Plan.
Well, that's a different department, and their funding got cut real bad.
Christ. No, seriously. We've made a super virus, and we don't know how to stop it.
It's slightly acidic and eating through the rubber gaskets as we speak.
We also designed it with a gun.
So our last story is going to sort of transition us into personal stories, because I think we all have some. As we discussed, some animals can catch strains of the flu, and there is currently a bit of a canine flu epidemic going around. So the first causes of this one popped up in California, but there have been confirmed cases in Kentucky and Ohio, and from personal experience, I can say Nevada. Well, this particular strain doesn't appear to be more deadly than normal, though I'll remind everybody that with flu, that's still a mortality rate of up to 10%. It does seem to be especially contagious. There is a vaccine available, and while the strain doesn't affect humans yet, it does affect cats. If you suspect...
The canine flu?
Yep.
They have canine teeth.
Yeah, it's true.
Is that all it takes?
Yeah.
Cats get really offended when they get the canine flu, too. It's just undignified.
How dare you?
So if you suspect that your dog might have the canine flu, which they would be exhibiting flu-like symptoms, they'd have like a runny nose and a cough, you want to quarantine it if you can. But if you decide you want to take it to the vet, be sure to call the vet clinic beforehand and warn them that you're coming, because they might have special procedures in place for dealing with this flu right now.
Do not bring the dog into the clinic.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, you know, into the waiting room with all the other dogs.
My loving, sneezy dog.
So yeah, that was the last of the stories I had. Anybody have any good personal flu stories?
Just one. Man, that was back in middle school, which would put us directly in 1997. I got the flu and my mother didn't believe me.
Liar.
I've been known to fake sicknesses.
Well, every kid fakes a sickness from time to time.
Lingering.
Yeah.
I did get to school and immediately barf on one teacher.
Oh, God. On a person?
Yeah. And then I spent the next 4 days watching Cartoon Network. And at this time, Cartoon Network was Scooby-Doo and Wacky Races.
Back when Cartoon Network was all like the really old cartoons.
Yeah.
70s mystery cartoons.
Like, I spent my time on the couch barfing into a bucket.
Ugh.
or realizing that the barf was not a barf, it was a shit, and running to the toilet. Did not shit in the bucket. I think that's a point in my favor.
I'm proud of you.
We'll never be able to take
that
away.
But I think that's the only time I've had the flu like bad.
Yeah.
Now I got something really bad last year, and I remember just, like I said, being on a couch for like 2 days straight, and then just being quarantined for like a week. Yeah. I watched through all of New Girl.
How was that? Quirky?
It was quirky, not bad. Zooey Deschanel is not the reason to watch. It's her supporting cast, from what I can remember.
You want to talk about what your dad's having to deal with?
With the canine flu?
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk a little bit more about the canine flu.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about the whole vet background we have here.
Yeah, there's a reason why Sean and I are hitting
two
with
child
so hard. My father's a veterinarian, and his clinic is dealing with the canine flu in Nevada right now. And so the problems are pretty much multi-level. The first one is people bringing sick animals into the clinic, even though everyone is trying to tell them, please do not bring sneezing dogs into the
please
clinic.
Please stop.
And then, so they now have an outdoor area that they're seeing flu patients in so that they don't have to take them inside. But
your father's clinic is right down the street, and I'll have to visit to see that.
Don't bring Gus.
And then on top of that, the dogs can be contagious before they show symptoms. So you can have a perfectly healthy seeming dog come in for a perfectly normal procedure and then infect everyone in the clinic. And again, this isn't a particularly deadly flu or anything, but they have all these now multi-level decontamination things. Like they are all but lighting the exam rooms on fire after they're used and burning their clothes before seeing the next patient just to keep it from spreading. And they're basically saying, if your animal does not need to come in, don't bring it in right now. This isn't a good time. It's just...
I would like to share that, man. So I thought the canine flu, because I hadn't heard of it being just a canine thing. I don't watch the news or anything. I thought the canine, like, there's so many people coming into my retail job that say, I have the canine flu.
Bark, bark.
I thought that this was like another bird flu or swine flu.
Honestly, this is the first I've heard of it. I knew there was a flu going around, but I didn't realize it was a canine one.
Well, no, I heard canine flu, but they're like, oh man, I've gotten the canine flu twice.
No, well, this one isn't passing to people.
Yeah, just to be clear, there's the canine flu, and then the 2017-2018 winter, there is a bad human flu. I don't know that it has a name, but it is pretty bad, and it is killing people.
But they are not related.
They're unrelated, yeah.
Well, no, I get that. It's just there was like, I've got that canine flu. I've heard that at least 15 times.
Yeah. I think they just see the words and it sounds impressive.
Kelly, I'm sure they know what they're talking about.
Or they're texting, or they're on their phones while the news is on.
That rhinovirus. I got it from the zoo.
My skin is so thick and I'm horny.
But yeah,
these are not flu symptoms.
Not a bad idea to get your animal vaccinated against the flu if you're in a high flu area, but call ahead of time, see how they're handling that. Because again, like if you can avoid bringing your animal around other animals right now, it's probably for the best.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that cat has probably affected my dog.
That's not true.
And you can't catch it, but you can carry it. So
Don't go petting multiple dogs.
Is it a two-man lift?
Don't pet any dogs. Let dogs go unpetted. Let their sad faces be your fuel.
Let them know they're bad dogs.
Yeah, I don't get sick very often, but yeah, when I do get sick, it pretty much takes me out for with a week. Last year, early in the year, I caught probably the flu, and it wiped me out harder than any sickness I can remember, where I basically was in bed, and a couple times a day I could wake up enough to like sit up for a couple hours, and that was about all I could do, and then I'd have to lie back down. And I spent 3 days being trapped in bed, and I spent those 3 days trying to understand what it is that people see in Dark Souls, but I failed miserably, unfortunately.
Look, I love Dark Souls. Just deal with it.
Yeah. Sean, come on.
Yeah. Oh, you more Dark Souls for you. I won't be taking any for myself.
Well, it's not like a finite supply of Dark Souls.
You mean I can only get so much Dark Souls?
That's what he's trying to tell us.
God, I gotta go.
So I have a story about flu-like symptoms and how other more dangerous things can seem like the flu. Yeah. Years and years back, when Sean and I were extremely poor college students living in a roach-infested apartment in West Chicago.
I remember that apartment.
I never got to see it, but I was also poor, so I couldn't travel to
it. That was a harrowing vacation for me.
Try living there.
Made you so happy to get back to the Navy, though.
Yeah, right?
There's no cockroaches on this boat!
Yeah!
Anyway, I got sick. I was tired. I was having cold sweats. I had a fever. All the things that you get when you have the flu. So I had the flu, which is fine. But I wasn't getting better. I was getting steadily worse. And my fever was getting steadily worse. And I tend to call my dad when
I'm
sick.
Wait till the end of the story.
And I was like, I have all these symptoms. He's like, oh, you're fine. And I'm like, okay. And then I was talking to him again a couple days later. And I was like, I have a fever of 102. And he's like, why didn't you tell me that before? It's like, I told you I had a fever.
I have a fever, father.
But I mean, we were at the point pretty much where Sean was literally holding me under the cold water of the shower to bring my fever down.
And the part that Kelly's glossing over in all of this is, like, I was very adamant that she just had the flu. So I was like, oh, you'll be fine. You just need a couple of days. Any day now, this fever's going to break, and then you're going to start to feel a lot better. So just hang in there, Tiger.
I can almost guess what this is because I did this to one of my roommates.
I mean, like, statistically, like, you probably have the flu when you have flu-like symptoms. Yeah.
Can I guess your disease?
You are welcome to guess.
Kidney infection?
Kidney infection.
Wow.
I promised my dad that if my fever went any higher, I would go into the hospital. And then my fever went higher. So we
I poured a cup of water and it started to boil in my hands. And I thought, maybe it's time to go in.
It's either a super bad virus or demonic possession.
So my roommate drives me to the emergency room and I spend the entire check-in time trying to explain to, well, basically incoherent from fever, trying to explain to the nurse that I have the flu and I am sorry that I am in the emergency room, but my fever won't go down and my dad is worried and I'll get out of their hair as fast as I can. And she's just like, just stop talking. Stop talking. Go pee in the cup.
Sorry to inconvenience you. Just wheel me to the morgue whenever you're ready.
Kelly, I can tell you I did this not only to a roommate. I did this to my wife. I'm like, you have the flu. We don't have to go to the hospital.
It's a reasonable thing to assume.
I hold no grudges against anyone for this. Sean holds grudges against himself. I am not mad. So they send me to pee in a cup, but I'm so feverish at this point that I pee and then remember the cup.
Oh, no.
So they put me in a room until I can pee again. And like they're like, you're clearly very dehydrated. So they put up me on fluids and they finally get some urine out of me. And they're like, yeah, you have a severe kidney infection. We need to start you on IV antibiotics immediately. The worst part of the recovery is they told me two things. One, take this pill. It will make you nauseous. And two, drink a gallon of water a day.
A gallon?
Wow.
Now,
wait, how much is a gallon?
Try to keep down water when you vomit anything you swallow.
That also sounds like pregnancy problems.
But I did recover.
All right. Well, if nobody has any more personal stories about the flu, we're going to move on to what are your morals worth? So, scientists, as I mentioned, can keep samples of flus pretty much indefinitely because they freeze really well. So rest assured, we still have copies of the 1918 Spanish flu. So much would I have to pay you to be infected with the Spanish flu?
Can you remind me or tell me what the odds of survival were for somebody in my age range?
50-50?
No, it was 5 to 10% chance.
Okay. That's pretty good odds.
Yeah. Am I locked in a room where I cannot infect anybody else?
Let's say you have to self-quarantine.
Okay. Is the C-Lab theme constantly playing backwards while I'm sick?
I tell you what.
Well, it can be any theme song of any cartoon you want.
Playing backwards?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. I'll be insane by the time it's done.
I recommend Inspector Gadget.
You're right.
I can't see if that exists.
Oh, see, I've only had the flu that I know of once, and it was the worst. Like, I had a bucket.
Well, and While I'm infected with the Spanish flu, am I just left on my own, or are there people like treating my symptoms?
Let's say you can go get anything. I mean, there really isn't anything they can do for you once you have the flu. I mean,
they can like try and keep the temperature down and keep me full of fluid stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that sort of stuff, but I mean, there's not any sort of, you know, injection or anything. You can.
Right.
There's really isn't anything more they could do at a hospital that you can't do at home, but you're aware this happens, so you can just do that stuff.
We also have far better everything now. So what I'm going to say is, as long as I'm contagious, but I know I'm getting infected, so I'm going to kick my wife and dog out of the house altogether.
You're out on the streets. Deal with it.
She has a mother. She can save her. after they're gone. Like, I believe I could hydrate myself. I've got running water pretty much 5 feet anywhere I go.
I mean, I say it's good odds, like, as far as, like, survival goes, but that's just going to be such a miserable time.
But a miserable time isn't death. And like I said, you have all the amenities of modern day.
I have tap water and Netflix.
What more could you need?
He died watching Daredevil.
Up to 10% chance of death and small possibility of infecting the rest of the planet and starting another plague. I mean, we have to consider these things.
I could be patient zero. That's big.
Oh, Adam's going to lower his price.
Yeah, his price just went down.
Yeah, I've been trying to find a way to get into the history books.
With the world at risk, I'm not doing it for less than $10
million. $10
million?
The world is at risk.
No, it's. I was told that I could be.
How would it take you to blow up the planet?
I wouldn't blow up the planet, though. I would just. Like, I know that the contagion window, and I would just double or possibly triple it.
What if there's a fire? And I have to run out.
I'd put on a mask.
Those don't work 100%.
They work pretty well.
What if the Norwegians capture me and make a super virus?
We've made another virus for you, Adam. This one's called the Oof. It's like the flu, but backwards. You suck in diarrhea and eat barf.
You're taking in diarrhea and barf? You're just constantly taking in these things?
It's like a vacuum.
You turn into a giant kidney.
Kelly said, what did you say, 10 million?
Like I said, if I could get my wife and animals out of here beforehand, like $1,500.
Oh, wow.
I mean, a 90% chance of survival. That's still an A in my book.
I'm telling you, the 10% chance is because of the 1900s.
People died in hours, Andy. Hours.
So you'd know the results quick.
Yeah, possibly. I feel like my chances are good, but 15, what do you say, 1,500 or 15,000?
I said 1,500.
Oh, God, that's really low.
That's going to cover my work for a couple weeks.
Seems almost insulting, really.
In fact, that's going to cover my work for 5 weeks.
I'm going to say 20,000.
20,000? Yeah, I'm pretty confident in my immune system that either I would be completely asymptomatic or I would fight it off pretty easily. So I'm banking on that. But still, a 1 in 10 chance of dying, that's going to turn it up a little bit.
If I die, does my family still get the 20,000?
You can do whatever you want with it.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
You can will it away.
Just write fast.
And infect your lawyer.
You read the letter, they get the flu.
Yeah, I'm just going to rent a nice cabin up in the woods somewhere for a month, and I'm going to bring my Switch and all my gaming systems and my favorite TV shows.
And all my very good friends and family.
Hug them close, cough in their faces.
So to do that, and try not to encounter any bats or squirrels or anything. 20,000? Would I go less than that? Yeah, I probably would. I'll say 15,000.
1,500. You just had the flu.
It's not just the flu. It's the most infamous flu in history.
It's the deadliest plague to ever strike the planet. This might sound crazy to you, Andy, but water was invented well before 1918.
Hydrating's not going to help if your lungs are full of fluid. You're already hydrated.
No, I'm a very good cougher.
Oh, let's mark that down.
Yeah, put that down on my resume. Sean, you keep my resume, right?
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's going to do it for this week. Stay healthy and safe out there, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks to my co-hosts, and thank you so much for tuning in today. If you would like more information about today's episode, check out our website at acidpoppodcast.podbean.com.
You can also find us on Twitter at AcidPopPodcast and contact us at acidpoppodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us all the stars you can. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week. Gotta age down a bit.
Oh, hey, everybody, and welcome to Acid Pop.